You're listening to Wide Men Can't Jump on the Wide Men Radio Network, located at anchor.fm/WCMJ. This is a sports podcast based that talks about NBA, football, and anything else that can come to the sports fan mind. We stick to the educated and the diehard fans, as well as the casual listener as well. Our show is brought to you by New Taylor & Associates, located at newlawoffice.com. You can also check out our wonderful sponsors, Atomic Comics and Collectibles, LLC, located at facebook.com/Atomic Comics and Collectibles, LLC. Strip Cam Fun also helps bring you this podcast, as well as our sponsors at Stay Classy Meats, where you can use promo code WIDEMEN to save 10% on your order of the freshest meat available in the United States. Now, let's take it over to our hosts. Here's Nate and Tim bringing you this week's edition of Wide Men Can't Jump. It's 2020, and good fucking riddance. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Wide Men Can't Jump, the final show of 2020. And thank God we're getting this year behind us. And hopefully next year brings better everything. And hopefully we get back to a little sense of normalcy. I'm Nate, and as always, joined from the Great White Sea World up north. Goo goo ka-choo, the walrus, Tim Dombrova.
Oh, the walrus is back after a long week. Oh, man, Christmas takes a lot out of an old man, let me tell you.
Yes, and you're trying on all your gifts and taking pictures.
Impromptu fashion show.
Yes, and it was quite nice.
I know, I still got it.
Oh, Maple Leaf jersey. I saw the Swedish chef from the Muppets.
There's going to be video coming of that. I got something planned for that.
Oh, gosh. Well, look out, everybody.
But boy, let me tell you, what is today? The 30th, so we got, a day and a half to go to get rid of this wretched shit year. Even in the sports world, it's been just bizarre. We've got some more bizarre stuff happened in the last few days. I guess it's only been, 4 days?
Yeah, I mean, we had a short turnaround this week on our show, but never fear, as we have returned.
We've seen some big news, some injuries, a record-breaking night last night for a certain team in a certain way, which we'll get to in a bit.
Yeah.
Football players watching their careers get flushed down the toilet through no fault of anybody's but their own fault. We'll get to that. I don't know what else we got. Bowl games. Tom Robinson sighting.
Yeah. I mean, we got a lot of stuff coming your way, and you know, it's New Year's time, so we want to wish everybody a safe New Year's, so everybody be safe out there. Don't do anything stupid.
You got to tune into Twitch for Bogus rocking New Year's Eve instead of taking over. He's taking over from Dick Clark this year, I heard.
Ed Bogus is rocking New Year's. Yes, I can't wait for that.
It's Ed Bogus. It's been filmed already, of course. It's not live, but Ed hits multiple food trucks across the great nation.
God.
Oh, hell. You know what? You probably put that on TV. That probably does well on television.
I'd tune in.
The masked eater.
God. Those masked teeth. You know, all right. You got me on a little side act here. You know, my mom and sister watched The Masked Singer. Okay. Now, I was under the impression that The Masked Singer was people who were celebrities. But everybody they seem to roll out, I'm sitting there going, who?
Well, either that or it's, who is this angel singing under here? And then it turns out, it's a singer. Of course they can sing.
Yeah. We can't believe that they could sing.
Like, I thought it was supposed to be people that you would never suspect could sing. Who was the last one? She was a country.
Leanne Rimes.
Yeah, and I'm like, okay, look, Jesus, she's multi-million selling platinum artist. Yeah, I hope she can sing, but I guess maybe these days, maybe, you know, with auto-tune and all that, maybe.
Well, and I mean, I look at the show and I go, okay, I don't know who half these people are. I do know who Leanne Rimes is. But I look at it and I'm like, yeah, they unmask and these people are like, oh my God, I can't believe it. And I'm like, who is that?
It's some YouTube influencer that you've never heard of.
Like a singing doctor from YouTube. And I'm like, I don't know who this guy is. And my mom's like, oh yeah, you know who he is. I'm like, no, I don't.
That's like, I just saw there was the lineup was released for the Dick Clark thing.
Yeah.
And I'm going, I don't know who these people are. Like almost none of them. And I mean, okay, admittedly, I'm, you know, they're not aiming that show at me anymore, but like they can't put somebody on that I might at least know.
Yeah.
Like I guess that just goes to show you though how the music industry is, it's changed. It isn't about album sales anymore. It's about social media presence and all those things. And
yeah, but now apparently with the success of this show, they have launched into the Masked Dancer.
You know, I think I would, I will tune in. Well, this is going to sound pretty weird, but you know what? I'm not, I don't care. Whatever. I think Tom Robinson would be on board with me on this. I'll tune in for the Masked Masturbator.
I think that's called furries.
Or Louis C.K., I guess, but he was unmasked, I suppose.
Well,
yeah, well, something like, okay, I mean, so you're the masked dancer. I have to assume that if you have any amount of skills, you're probably somebody that either does that for a living or is at least in the entertainment industry, right?
Yeah, and I don't know how you can pick out a dancer based on their movements.
Now, you know, that's only interesting to me if it's, you know, Dom DeLuise is the masked dancer.
That guy's still alive?
No, but somebody like that, that you're going to go, okay, that the fact that this person can do anything is utterly amazing because it wouldn't be... You know, I mean, he's dead too. You know, Stephen Hawking is the masked dancer.
Oh my God!
Yeah, okay, now that's TV I might tune in to all see.
Right. Yeah, I'd have to click on for that one.
But, you know, that some guy that's been on Dancing with the Stars is on the Masked Dancer. Well, you know, it's Mikhail Baryshnikov. Well, oh gee, what a surprise! He can dance. Who would have thought? You know, John Travolta or somebody that's danced in movies or something. It's not really that big a deal. Let's see, Lou Williams. Get him out there. Give him a pole and let him go.
Turn him loose at Magic City. All right.
Speaking of which, before we move on.
Yes.
I've got the football game on.
Yes.
You know that the football bowl game, the Capital One Bowl Mania game today so far, Wisconsin and Wake Forest,
yes,
is the Duke's Mayo Bowl.
Duke's Mayo.
Duke's Mayo Bowl.
I'm more of a Miracle Whip guy, but...
I am too, but I was just thankful when I saw Mayo Bowl that it had nothing to do with the Mayo Clinic. I was a little nervous there for a minute.
Well, some of the players may have ended up at the Mayo Clinic.
Anyway, sports. Let's get to the sports.
All right, let's talk a little sports here. We'll start out in the NBA. There's been a lot of interesting stuff going on in the league the past few days. So, you know, we'll hit some of the highlights. We'll see what we can come up with here. Let me get my notes here and scroll a little bit.
How big is the word Timberwolves suck written on your notes?
Well, we'll start with Karl Anthony Towns. Karl Anthony Towns suffered an injury. He has a dislocated wrist. He will be out for some period of time. Not sure how long exactly he will be out, but he will be out for an extended period of time. And that hurts. He's supposed to be reevaluated weekly. He won't have to have surgery, which is good, but he will be back in hopefully sooner.
Yeah, that's later. At least from initial results, that's not going to bode well for your Timberwolves.
No, it doesn't help, because then the Wolves went on a nice little two-game getting their ass whipped as Towns, you know, no Towns, and, you know, playing the Clippers and the Lakers. That's a rough couple of days.
Yeah, going to California is not a that's not a very fun trip these days.
Yeah, and then, you know, of course they did beat Utah, which I was very surprised by. A nice win against the Jazz, but sitting at 2-2 now. I think they got a couple of days off, so they'll be playing again here, I believe, first day of the new year.
Well, yeah, the Jazz didn't play that well because a couple of their guys were gone for the filming of a South Park episode. Dum 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 dum.
Dum 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 dum.
You got a link. We'll leave a link to that somewhere for those of you who don't know what that is. Unless you're a Mormon, you're probably going to find it pretty funny.
Dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum.
And even some of them found it funny, because I know a few, and even they thought it was rather humorous.
Smart, 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 smart. Well,
anyways.
Anywho. So, got a little problem there with Towns' wrist. Hopefully he'll be back sooner rather than later. Now, this one was a big one. Spencer Dinwiddie has been diagnosed partially torn anterior ligament of the right knee. The injury occurred during the game against Charlotte in the third quarter. And if I'm not mistaken, it's looking like he's going to be done for the year.
That's what I read this morning, was that he was be out for the season. So
no structural damage, but looks like he's supposed to make a full recovery before next season. So he will be done for the year.
That's rather large and substantial blow to them.
Yeah, it hurts. It hurts.
that's what he said. It hurts. Yeah, I don't know, because they were playing pretty good too.
And Dinwiddie's a solid player on that roster, in my opinion. He's a guy who comes off the bench and is a nice spark for them. He does a lot of good things for the Nets. He's one of those guys who, when Durant and Kyrie, you know, can need a break, they can go to Spencer Dinwiddie. And his contract wasn't bad this year. Like, he was only making, like, I think $12 million. He's going to be a free agent next year, so that price will go up. But will he be able to make the money he would make because of the injury? That's kind of the thing. Nobody really knows how he's going to do now, because the injury, that causes a problem. Teams don't want to take a chance. So
what are our boys Hoff and Bogus? How are they feeling about all these Boston injuries?
Yeah, there's quite a few of those. You want to go ahead and roll? Go ahead and roll.
Well, then you got, you know, Tristan Thompson's day to day. Taco Fall is out with an eye injury. I don't know what that's all about.
I don't know how anybody could reach his eye.
Unless you got a finger in the eye or something, but I don't know what happened there. Jason Tatum is questionable on day-to-day. Kemba Walker's out, and I don't know when he's coming back.
He's due back, I believe, sometime in January, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay, but I'm just looking at the injury list is, like, considering the season is only, what, 8 days
Kemba's was more, Kemba's happened more often before the season. He had surgery before the season, so.
Yeah, they've got him listed as December 22nd. They got a bunch of bit players out too. Tristan Thompson, Javon Green, Romeo Langford. Like, they got like 7-8 guys on the injured list. I mean,
yeah.
And you're in a week into the season. That's not good.
Well, you also have to remember that a lot of these guys are playing either on extended periods of rest, they haven't played since March, or some of them are playing on shortened periods of rest. So, you know, a lot of them played just back a couple of months ago in the bubble. So it's really going to be a kind of a test to see who can stay healthy this season. You're going to see probably a lot more injuries than we anticipate. So
I mean, about the only team I think that's got them beat is probably still Golden State.
Yeah, Klay Thompson's done for the year there. They've got a lot of injuries.
Draymond Green is done.
Yeah, and how long, have they said how long Green is out? I've not seen a
no. And now they've added Marquise Chris is undergoing season-ending surgery.
That hurts Golden State big time.
I don't know what that is. Syndermosis ankle injury that includes a fibular fracture. That don't sound good. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of guys. Kevin Love is gone for a while.
Apparently, that is a syndermosis is an ankle is like an ankle sprain.
Well, that's what's wrong with Kevin Love. He's got a right calf, I believe.
Syndermosis is a technique used to stabilize an ankle after the injury. It's used to repair. It looks like they put a steel plate. It says here damages normally occur to soft tissue structures between the tibia and fibula and cause the bones to separate. So basically, you're going to be immobile for 10 to 14 days. You're typically kept non-weight bearing for 6 to 8 weeks.
Now, how did LeBron James hurt himself?
I didn't see LeBron got hurt.
He is listed as day to day, questionable for Wednesday's game against the Spurs.
Now, day-to-day injuries normally.
Ankle injury.
Yeah, he may have just sprained or something.
Yeah, it might be an ongoing thing. Now, Memphis has got...
Yeah, Ja Morant apparently got hurt for Memphis. Morant, left ankle. No fracture on the left ankle, which is good news. Let me see how long he will be out.
I got 3 to 5 weeks, this says.
Yeah, 3 to 5 weeks, Ja Morant will be out. So Kevin Love injury I saw, by the way, was he will be reevaluated in about a month. He's got a calf sprain.
Then there's our boy, Kawhi Leonard, who got poked in the mouth and has missed 14 games.
I think that's just part of his load management, if you ask me.
Probably. That's a convenient way to... You're probably not wrong there. Who else we got? Jimmy Butler will be out Wednesday with an ankle injury.
He was out the other night against the Bucks, and boy, it showed.
Yeah, he probably. Well, they play them again tonight, right?
Yeah, they're playing. I think they're doing the double back to back.
Yeah, he just doesn't. Probably just doesn't want to be a part of that. Of course, your boy's out, and the Knicks have got a whole pile of injuries, but nobody really knows half of who these guys are.
Yeah,
so
beat Cavs the other night, which was actually kind of a surprise because I thought the Knicks were they were gonna be dead to rights, but now they did all right.
Yeah, the injury list is extremely long for this time of the season. But as you said, that's probably Zach Collins underwent surgery. Yeah,
Zach Collins, another one who's out.
Out indefinitely. I mean, I'm skipping a lot of the names that...
Yeah, DaQuan Jeffries had a grade 3 left ankle sprain for the Kings. So he's going to be out for an extended period of time. I mean, just a lot of injuries here coming into the season, whether it be... It just seems like it's a lot of the ankles. A lot of ankle injuries is what we're seeing.
Well, of course, I mean, Houston's got 4 guys out, but that's all...
Well, that's all COVID-related.
COVID-related, so...
They're a mess down there right now. They are a mess.
I don't know what they're going to do. I'm sure that they're probably just trying to find somebody that's willing to give them something for Mr. Attitude. But they probably haven't got a good enough deal yet. So,
well, we mentioned the Milwaukee Bucks last night. The Bucks have set an NBA record for 3-pointers made in a game. They were at 28 and counting as it was tweeted. I'm not sure what they ended up with.
29, I believe.
29?
I believe.
Yeah, I think they ended up with 29. And you know the only guy who didn't make one on the team? Giannis.
Well, I mean, he's not exactly known for shooting them, I suppose, but still. You think you'd be throwing a couple up in a victory that one-sided just to get one.
Yeah, you would think that, but no, that's... I think we ended up at 29 in that ball game, and the Bucks cruise to a win over the Heat. Of course, the Heat didn't have Jimmy Butler, so not a lot you can really say there.
Mind you, you know, there was a lot of Giannis was 0-for-2, but there was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 other guys who got one.
Yeah.
So even his is it his brother or cousin that's on the team?
Yeah, his brother is on the team.
His brother got one.
Thanius.
His brother got one.
Yeah, everybody on the team but Giannis scored a three.
Giannis didn't play very. He only played 24 minutes and he only had 9 points.
Yeah, he had 9 points, 6 boards, 6 assists, but finished plus 23 in the plus minus. So not a terrible night. Yeah, it didn't put up a lot of stats, but in a blowout like that, I mean, it's hard to do.
I mean, there was a what's the scoop with all the scoring? There's been some really big scoring blowout games already this year. You think that's got something to do with no training camp and all that stuff?
I think it does. I think no training camp, no
exhibition games really to speak of, and there are not very many anyway compared to normal.
I mean, you don't have the normal rigmarole again, and then the travel is different. All the testing they're having to do. There haven't been a lot of practices. I know with the way the schedule is jammed in, there's not a lot of practice time. I heard one team say they wanted to, I think it was the Magic. And speaking of which, we'll have our Magic expert, Philip Rossman Reich, on the show here today to discuss Orlando. But he was telling me that the Magic don't have back-to-back days off until like March. So it's hard to squeeze in some good practices there.
I mean, if you go back to the schedule, you look like at Monday's games. Okay, there was 5 games Monday night. Nobody scored under 100 points.
Yeah.
That happens occasionally, but, you know, then there's Sunday night, the Mavericks clobbered the Clippers by 50.
Yeah. I mean... It just seems like this season there's more blowouts than ever before. And I think a lot of that has to do with rest, with a lot of all that. It's kind of wild.
Even the bad teams, you know, like the Knicks throw up 130 and beat Milwaukee.
Yeah, they beat Milwaukee. And then, again, it's kind of unpredictable what we're seeing here from the league. Just a lot of inconsistency at this point. Like let's take a second here. We're recording Wednesday afternoon, so this is the standings as of Wednesday afternoon. In the East, here's your top two teams right now in the East, undefeated: Orlando, Atlanta, 1-2.
Yeah, ain't nobody expecting that.
Then you go on down. You've got Indiana, Philly, 3-1, Cleveland at 3-1. Brooklyn at 2-2. The Knicks are 2-2. Boston is 2-2. Then you scroll on down here out of the playoffs as of right now. Of course, we're just a handful of games in. I know. Milwaukee 2-2. Miami 1-2. Charlotte 1-2. Chicago 1-3. Then Toronto winless at 0-3. Detroit 0-4. Washington 0-4. You go out west. Western Conference right now. Number one, Phoenix, 3-1. Clippers are 3-1 at 2. Sacramento, 3-1. They're in the third spot. Utah's 2-1 at 4. Spurs are the 5 seed. Portland, the 6 seed. 7 seed, the Lakers. Then 8, the Wolves at 2-2. Then 9, Pelicans. 10, Warriors. 11, the 11 is Dallas. Memphis is 12. Oklahoma City, 13. Denver is 14. They're 1-3. And then 15, the lowly Houston Rockets, who are 0-2.
Well, you know, it's a weird year.
But again, I'll say it.
It's early.
Very early. And things are going to change.
Yeah. When you look at the scoring, for instance, there's only one team in the league that isn't averaging over 100 points a night. And that's New Orleans, and they're at 98.8. So they're close.
They got destroyed last night.
And defensively, there's only one team in the league that has allowed less than 100 on average, and that's Phoenix. Everybody else is over 100. So that, you know, not only is there scoring, nobody's stopping anybody either. I mean, Houston has given up 126 points a game so far this year.
Yeah.
You know, you ain't going to win many giving up 126 a night.
No, you can't win doing that. It's been just a rough start. And I think we kind of expected it. Teams have got to get into the flow again. No training camp, no real preseason. It's been a big just mess.
I'd make kind of maybe a bit of a baseball analogy. Like in the spring, you know, the hitters haven't, you know, the pitchers are ahead of the hitters because they go to camp early.
Yeah.
And, you know, it takes the hitters a little while to kind of get in the groove. And then all of a sudden, summer comes along and the ball's flying out of the park and the pitchers are the ones that are taking the beating. Maybe it's got something to do with, like you said, systems and all that stuff. Nobody's really had that much time. You know, if you got new players on your team, you know,
how do they fit in? Having some trouble over there?
I had an injury. I had an old man moment. I dropped my mouse. Then when I was going to pick it up, I unplugged the headphones. And you know. Right. Robinson's not here. I've got to provide some of the
following. The entertainment. Yes. Yes, indeed. Good old TR. We did speak with TR over the weekend. He's doing all right.
He was a grouchy old bastard is what he was.
A hard-working man, you know.
Where's he was feeling the, you know, I was expecting 16 tons to start playing in the background.
15 miles on the Erie Canal. That's what TR had really worked on.
Tons, and what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. That one. Do you not know that song?
I don't.
Yellow. Yeah, it's about, well, it's about a coal miner. You load 16 tons, and what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. Something about wanting to quit, but I owe my soul to the company store. Dun, 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 dun.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I have.
Yeah, I mean, I thought that was probably the West Virginia national anthem, but.
Well, that was back when we really did have to pay. We owe our soul to the company store. That was actually legit. I don't know if you know that. I know a lot of people don't.
Oh, yeah, no, I do. But I thought maybe Tom might start singing, you know, what's that song? Mr. Postman, look and see if there's a package for me. I don't know who sings that back from the 50s or 60s. That one.
Oh,
that one's pretty old.
Whoever they are, let's leave them there, shall we?
Something about delivering. Tom starred in Deliverance, by the way.
Did you know that? I believe that. Was he a banjo player?
Well, are you suggesting that Tom did the...
that part? Well, I'm suggesting that I don't think Warren Beatty's going to be able to make it down the river with Tom after him.
But I think Tom was a stunt bottom.
God. Was he a fluffer on the
set? He might have done that, too. I can't rule it out.
Well,
I suspect Karen probably might have done
that. Oh, she worked for free. we love our friends here at Wide Men Canyon.
Hey, yeah, just as a quick healthy reminder, if we're bugging you and talking about you, it means we like you.
Yeah, that's what it is.
And that's why we pick on Lou and
Miss Lou, man. Fine, yeah, Lou.
Speaking of which, Danielle Hoff, you.
Oh,
thank you.
Going after Danielle, huh?
Yeah, there's a song coming in her future. Pharmacist Shuffle.
The Pharmacist Chuckle.
Yes, where I will take the Harlem Shuffle by the Rolling Stones and rewrite the lyrics to fit the Pharmacist Shuffle. Oh, now, God. As we know, pharmacists may shuffle because they're, well, nerds and uncoordinated. Or perhaps it might be because they're sampling some of their wares. We can't rule that out.
Jeez.
Well, deny it. Yeah, see, you say jeez, but you don't go, Tim, that's patently untrue. You don't say that, do you?
No comment.
Mr. TV boy.
Oh, God.
Well, what, you're not going to bring that up?
What, the fact that, okay, Tim brings it up.
You should bring it up. I mean, no, it's cool. You should bring it up.
I wasn't going to talk about it, but okay, yes.
I think you should.
A big thank you to Joe Pizzapia and the guys over at Sports Grid TV for having me on as a guest on Sports Grid Television. And you know, we talked NBA for a while, and it was nice of them to have me on. If you don't have Sports Grid, go check them out. They're on Roku TV. They're on everywhere. Honestly, they're all over the place. Channel 250 on your Roku TV. Go check them out, man. Sports Grid. It's got a lot of good stuff on there. A lot of great betting tips, fantasy tips, insight. It's just it's ESPN the way we actually want it, not the way that ESPN does it now, in my opinion.
In related news, there's a new opening at Wide Men Can't Jump.
Oh, God.
Bogus.
I will be back soon on Sports Grid, by muscle. The way.
Bogus, if you could put on a quick 30 or 40, we could probably get you on.
You're He's been trying to for 15 years.
I know. I think Ed's got one of those. He's just got one of those. What is that?
Metabolism.
Yeah, there. He just eats what he wants, and it doesn't seem to bother him too much.
Yeah, he's one of those people that we can't stand.
Speaking of ESPN, did you see that? Apparently, the guys at ESPN don't understand what the word COVID protocol means.
Yeah, I saw there was some trouble there.
There's going to be a first on New Year's Day as Kirk Herbstreit calls the game from home because he's got the COVID.
Kirk.
And a double whammy for Kirk. He's got two sons playing in the game.
Oh, Kirk.
And he can't go. What a boner. I don't know how he got it, but probably hanging out at an ESPN, one of them office party things.
I went to Magic City.
Kirk?
Sure, why not?
I thought, isn't Kirk a bit of a straight shooter?
Or no? We all are straight shooters, but we all love Magic City.
There's a pun there, if you care to.
Yeah, I'm going to contact them and see if they'll sponsor the show. I think there's something.
Magic City, they should, for the amount of advertising we give them.
We give them so much advertisement for free. We should.
I mean, I'm surprised we don't post a menu on our Facebook page. Probably should, actually.
Yeah, really. I posted a picture on Twitter.
We will let them run whatever commercials they want. They can provide whatever video footage they like. We don't even care. We just ask for free wings now and then.
Yeah, we just ask for
wings. That's all we want.
Just mail us the wings, please.
Talk to our friends over at Stay Classy Meats.
Hey.
And
it's a nice arrangement there.
I'm Lou Williams for Stay Classy Meats.
Have you tried my wings? Well, Tim, I'm going to go ahead. Tim, you should get on Twitter. I really think you should get on Twitter.
I am on Twitter. I've got a Twitter account. Oh, you mean like your Twitter account.
Well, there's a reason why I want you to get on Twitter and head on over to the Wide Men page, because the new theme song is a hit. Did you see that? Did you see a hit?
You know, I saw it was a hit, but in full disclosure, I haven't heard it yet.
Lord. The Bush League Jam, In the Club Raven, it sounds like. That was the Jamming in the Kitchen. So there you go.
I mean, do I actually have to listen to the podcast to hear this thing?
I'll send you a clip.
Oh, my God, because I don't know. You know.
Well, it's time. It's time for it. Here we go. It's time for Bush League. Kick it!
Bush League.
That's right. It is time for Bush League. Tim, I can see the excitement on your face for Bush League.
Well, I got, like when you said kick it, and I went old school, I immediately went to Beastie Boys. You gotta fight.
For your rights. Fight. I go Bernie Mac on that one.
Well, that's how that song starts, right, dude?
Yeah.
Kick it.
What
was your reference?
Bernie Mac, the stand-up he did at the Apollo.
Okay. Yeah. Unfamiliar. I know Bernie Mac, but not familiar with that.
By the way, when you get a chance, you can check your inbox. I just emailed you the Bush League theme. So
I thought it was going to be boobies. Damn.
our first Bush League nominee this week.
All right. Are anyway, you there? Yes, you ready? I am there.
The New York Knicks are our nominee. Reggie Bullock and Mitchell Robinson were wearing the same jersey number.
How does this happen?
I don't know. 23 was Mitchell Robinson's jersey number. Apparently there was a misprint on Bullock's jersey. On the front, it had his right number, but on the back, it was the wrong number. New York has got a New York, man.
Only in Knickville can this happen. I mean, nowhere else.
I've never seen anything like that. They had to stop the game so that Bullock could switch jerseys.
That means that somebody somewhere wrote, oh, what else could go wrong in New York? And New York went, hold on a minute, just give us a sec. Yeah, that's...
pretty bad. Pretty bad.
Well, it's more, I understand how the error happened in the printing or whatever. That, I guess, could happen.
Yeah,
how
does no... check that.
Well, and how does nobody on the team doesn't notice that? Hey, dude.
Well, you got to remember, during warm-ups, a lot of them are they wear their warm-ups. They don't have their jersey out. I don't know. It's just Bullock had and the front number on his part was right. So they had his number 25 right in the front. It was just the back where the problem lied.
Well, somebody didn't get a Christmas bonus for that.
Yeah, definitely. You know what that was?
No, what was it?
That's Bush. Bush League.
It's Bush League.
Oh.
Bush League.
Oh, are we playing a thing in there? Is that why I'm getting
that? Yeah, we are. Damn it. Oh.
Well, usually you say it's Bush League, and then you... I'm sorry. I didn't go to the production meeting. It's not my fault.
You and Shackelford both. All right, our next...
Do you know where Shackelford is?
No.
He's not even answering my emails or anything anymore. That... just kicks the checks. We got to do something about that direct deposit.
He's turned his beeper off.
Yeah, that's okay, because come Monday, I've taken him off the account. He can't write checks anymore. So.
Well, our next nominee is Chicago and Golden State, as we can cue the Benny Hill music here a little bit, but
oh, I don't want it. You want it? No, you want it? Okay, yeah, sure. Oh, no, I didn't really want it.
let's take it from here as a start here. Bulls have the ball. Then there's a turnover. And the ball swatted down. Steph Curry's got it going for it. No, he's not. And the ball is out of bounds. Oh.
What is that? What is that? Who is it with a guy? There's somebody in the headband there knocks that ball. It looks like, an uncoordinated Shaq doing a block.
Yeah, I couldn't see who that was.
Number
12?
12, yeah. It looks like 12 for Golden State.
Hmm. It might be Kelly Oubre.
Oh, well. He hasn't done much else except for the last game, so I guess... yeah, I don't know, man. That's... I mean, it happens occasionally, but not out in the open court like that.
Yeah. That was Kelly Oubre, by the way, so... Yeah, kind of a mess there in that one. And for Curry and for this season for the Warriors, it seems like right now that sums it all up. And you know what it was?
That's Bush League.
Yeah, it's Bush League. Absolutely.
That's going to be the PR video for next year's team. It's going to show that to the season ticket holders.
Yeah. Our final nominee this week for Bush League... here they are, and it's cue the Benny Hill music again. It's the Rockets and the Nuggets, and this one gets ugly. This is all over the place. Nobody wants to do anything right here. And, man, really? It only gets worse. There's about 30 seconds.
That's a legitimate 30-second stretch.
Yeah, Murray finds Millsap, turns the ball over. Here comes Harden. Harden passes forward. That should have been a travel, but no harm, no foul. Rebound forward to Jokic, who turns the ball over. Ball stolen. Harden gets it again. He's going to try to make something happen here. Finds a pass stolen by Jokic. He comes back the other way. He's looking for Murray behind the back off a defender, and the ball is picked up by P.J. Tucker.
Stop it at the 28-second mark. What do you see on the screen?
Hold on. 28 seconds.
You see, the ball is in between two Houston guys.
Yeah.
You see a very dejected looking.
The whole Nuggets team, his head is just
they've
down.
All got their heads down. You know who the guy in the paint looks like?
Who's that?
I think that's it's number it's 15.
That's Jokic.
Jokic. That from a distance, if you put a mustache on that guy, that's Nick Hoff. That looks like Nick Hoff.
After putting a nail in the wrong place in the bar.
God, I gotta start rebuilding this thing again. Damn that Daniel.
Well, after all that, you know what it was?
That's Bush League.
Yeah, it's Bush League. All right, so Tim, you get the choice this week. Our nominees.
I mean, okay. I mean, I'm front of you. The number thing is just that's not even Bush League. That's just embarrassing. I don't even know what to call that. Now these other two Siegfried follies. I don't know. I think that the last one I think is a little longer and a little bit more.
The there's Rockets and the
Denver. That is a whole lot of ugly right there.
Well, congratulations to those two teams on winning Bush League this week, and their win is to get a phone call from Tom Robinson, who will call them at 3 a.m. after having many Coors Lights. So congratulations.
And this is a small audio sample. Hello? Yeah, hi. Who's this? I don't know who's this.
Why is that so accurate?
Did I answer the phone? No, dude, you called me. Oh, well, who is this?
Oh. You know, when you're hey, right, you're right.
And then if the person actually knows who he is, then you just got to poke the bear and scream out, yeah, trust the process, and hang up on him.
Oh, that's fantastic. Fantastic. But I'll tell you what, congratulations to our winner there, and cue the music again. Kick it!
Bush League. Bush League.
All right.
Now, considering that I haven't heard this music yet, is Bogus dancing on a pole to this, or is he like jamming on the floor at the club?
I'm not sure. Apparently, he said he's dancing in his kitchen.
Well, I have seen video of him, you know, like.
But you have seen him break it down.
Yeah, I mean, and I have to imagine for the amount of food that man eats and the types of foods, he probably does a few dances outside the bathroom door waiting for, you know.
Maybe well, don't we all?
Well, yes, but, you know, I don't have a little kid in my house. I mean, I got to imagine, unless the Bogus household is a two-bathroom home, he probably has to wait his turn.
Very true.
And he's going to be last on that list. So.
Well, aren't we all? But I'll tell you what. We're going to come back after this break. We got a quick break with our good friend, Stephen P. New, the new law offices, New Taylor and Associates. And we're going to come back and we're going to talk with our buddy. I talked with Philip Rossman Reich of the Orlando Magic. He's out doing big things right now, covering the Magic, who are undefeated as we speak right now. Philip and I talked yesterday. We break down the Orlando Magic. It's good to have some guests back on the show. We'll hear our talk with Philip Rossman Reich. So we're going to hear from Stephen P. New, the great new law offices. Then we'll go straight to my interview with Philip Rossman Reich. And then after that, we'll probably hear from our great friends at Strip Cam Fun. Because, hey, let's have a little fun with Strip Cam Fun. Go check them out on stripcamfun.com. Lots headed your way now. And Tim and I on the other side, it's almost football playoff time, baby. We're going to talk football, and we're going to talk our picks for the upcoming weekend. So we'll see you right after this. Enjoy.
Personal injury, product liability, workplace accidents.
mesothelioma law, social security disability, unfair insurance practices, family law, employment discrimination, and more. All this can be handled at New Law Office with Stephen P. New. It's New Law Office with Stephen P. New. You can get your free consultation today by calling 1-800-208-9169 or 304-362-7345 for your free consultation. A new level of personal service, whether you've been injured or facing divorce or experiencing workplace discrimination, you can rely on compassionate, thorough representation from New Law Office. Be sure to contact Stephen P. New Law Office at newlawoffice.com or again get your free consultation at 1-800-203-9169. Stephen P. New, answers to your legal questions. Back with us here on Wide Men Can't Jump is, I'm just going to say it, probably our favorite guest to have on the show. He's been here since about, day one, it feels like, so many episodes ago. And, you know, during the pandemic, we didn't have any guests on because really, it was hard to talk about. But the first guy we brought back on the show is this guy who you all know, you all love, Philip Mrosman-Reich, Orlando Magic Daily. Welcome back, Phil. It's glad to have you.
Glad to be back and glad to have some basketball to talk about. It's nice for a change.
It is. And I know we went through that long spell there with the bubble, and we didn't have guests on during the bubble because it was kind of just, it was such a hectic time. And I know we talked to you about what was going on in Orlando at that time, but now that's all over with. We're back to kind of a more, I don't want to say regular schedule, but basketball seems a little more normal right now. And let's talk about your Orlando Magic. As we speak today, they do have a game tonight where they're playing the Oklahoma City Thunder as we record. They are on the road, but right now, perfect 3-0, two wins over the Washington Wizards and a win over the defending Eastern Conference runner-up Miami Heat, or Eastern Conference champion Miami Heat. What's got the Magic rolling so good so far?
Yeah, it's hard to put a finger on it. I mean, the big thing is that the Magic are winning close games. They've gotten themselves in tight battles toward the end of games, and they're, I think that's where you really see how teams trust each other and how teams really, really believe and have a good feel for each other. And the Magic, to some criticism, to be perfectly honest, didn't make a lot of changes in the offseason. You know, they really only added three players. That's their two rookies and Cole Anthony and Chuma Okeke. And then Dwayne Bacon, who's starting right now because James Ennis is out with an injury. So you have a team that is relatively healthy. Yes, they're down a starter in James Ennis, but not someone who's super important to what the team does. You have a team that's relatively healthy and knows each other really, really well. And so I think, you know, especially early on in this season with how short training camp was and how short of a time teams have had to integrate, you're seeing a team that just knows exactly what it wants to do. And so when you get to winning time, when you get to the time that matters, they are executing at an extremely high level and finding ways to pull out games. They've gotten a nice boost from Markelle Fultz, who's averaging around 20 points per game through these first three games, had a career high 26 in a win over Washington on Sunday. He's taken a step up in his game, and Magic have really had a good flow offensively, and they're finding ways to win games, and that's a good place to start, if anything.
Yeah, Markelle Fultz is a guy who we used to joke on the show here about him years ago in Philly. This dude is starting to become the real deal. He's really putting it together early in this season. What has he improved on since he's come to Orlando? I mean, he's averaging 20 points a game. Yeah, this was the shoulder imbalance thing, and people were thinking this guy just wasn't mentally ready for the NBA. It seemed like once he got out of that spotlight in Philly and down to Orlando, a little smaller market, things have really developed, and I think he really likes Steve Clifford. But what's changed since he's come to Orlando?
I mean, he'll tell you the first thing that's changed is he's healthy. The first thing that's changed is he's able to be out on the court. And you know, he said, you know, while there's still some exercises and stretching that he has to do to kind of warm his shoulder up and just make sure that everything stays loose, he doesn't really worry about it. I mean, Jeff Weltman said after the end of last season, the Magic's president of basketball operations said at the end of last season, you know, the goal now with Markelle Fultz is, let's not talk about him in the context of his injury. Let's talk about him as a basketball player. And so I think kind of coming out on the other end of that shoulder issue, of those shoulder injuries, and just feeling the confidence that he can play has really freed him up. And give a lot of credit to Steve Clifford. He's really changed this Magic offense. He's given Markelle Fultz a lot more trust to kind of run the show. And you see a guy who, you know, not an otherworldly athlete, but he's a guy that has great pace in the game. He's physical. He can take a bump. He looks for contact and is able to create separation using contact. And he's just able to get into the paint, and that's opened up so much for this Magic offense. It's put a lot of guys in the right roles. You know, the Magic have put Nikola Vucevic more on the perimeter as a 3-point shooter. That's given him a little bit more room to get to the paint because teams are still kind of ducking under and daring him to shoot. And frankly, you know, on that front too, he's been confident enough to shoot, even if he's not making 3-pointers at a high rate. He knows how to use space, and really you just kind of feel the confidence kind of coming off of him after, you know, kind of proving to himself as well as the rest of the league that he's healthy once again.
Yeah, and I think that's the key right there is you may not make him, but you're not afraid to shoot him. And that's where a lot of guards that are primarily get to the rim guards can fail. We've seen it a lot with Ben Simmons, and we've seen it a lot with other guards. But now that Markel's willing to shoot, that should open up his game a lot. And, hey, glad to be wrong about Markel Fultz. He proved me wrong. And I thought going to Orlando, I didn't know if it would help him or not. It seems to. So congratulations to him. He's doing well. Got a nice little extension in the offseason as well. Speaking of extensions, Jonathan Isaac signed one in the offseason. We've yet to see him play this year. Do you think the extension was worth that signing? Because it was a pretty nice extension, but a lot of people are saying that it was based on potential more than anything else. Did you like the signing, or were you kind of like, I don't know about this?
Yeah, I mean, I thought goal one for the Magic this offseason had to be re-signing Jonathan Isaac. You know, despite the injury issues, and he's only played now one full season in his entire rookie contract, in his entire 4-year rookie contract. So that is definitely a concern. The Magic, you know, undoubtedly took a little bit of a risk here. You know, they gambled on him, or they're betting on him, that he's ultimately going to be someone that can play a major role for this team. And they have, they have no reason not to believe that. But, you know, obviously coming off a torn ACL, that's a major injury. It's going to take him, it's going to knock him out for the entire season this year, most likely. And it's going to, you know, obviously with torn ACLs, it takes another full year to come back, to get back to full strength. But at the end of the day, you know, I think the investment's worth it. He's what, 22, 23 years old. He's already, you know, he's healthy, and certainly what he looked like last year. He's an all defensive team caliber player. I often say this, Jonathan Isaac is the only player on this team that does anything at an elite level. I mean, he's the only guy that I think we're going to be talking about in award talk. And that's mostly all defensive team and defensive player of the year award. But that's something that you can't pass up, especially with someone so young. The Magic did hedge their bets a little bit with him. His contract is pretty heavily incentive laden. You know, like it's 80 million over 4 years, but like the base pay, I think, is like 16 or 17. And then he gets like $2 million if he gets to 70 games. So there's definitely some insurance in case the injury is something that lingers, that should protect the Magic a little bit. But at the end of the day, this is the young player that you've invested in. This is the young player that you believe in. If you're not going to give him the contract now, then you might as well just let him go. So I do think that this was the right move. I'm glad that they got something done. And I think that Isaac is still a really important piece of this team's future.
Yeah, absolutely. I liked him coming out of Florida State. If he stays healthy with that length and that defensive prowess, I think he can really turn into something. So, yeah, we'll just have to wait and see how he develops. And it's smart to put those incentives in there if you're the Magic. So it was a good play there. Speaking of guys that just can't seem to stay healthy, Mo Bamba, a guy who I thought was really going to be a monster coming out of Texas, loved him, thought he was going to win Rookie of the Year. A little slow starting in the NBA. And now dealing with lingering COVID symptoms. Do you know anything that's going on with Mo Bamba? I haven't really heard much on anything with him.
It definitely hasn't been 100% clear what's going on with Mo Bamba. He is now practicing with the team. So he was cleared for full contact practice just before the season started. So he did a couple practices before the season began. The only issue is now the team is playing games every other day, essentially. And as Steve Clifford points out a lot, the Magic will not have consecutive days off until February now. So their schedule is really, really going to be brutal. It's going to be hard to integrate players. And Steve Clifford is someone that doesn't like to just throw players into the fire. He wants to see them in practice. He wants to see them kind of go through their paces. But Mo's had a lot of bad luck. You know, he was drafted as a project. I don't think they expected a ton from him that first year. But he broke his leg, was out for the playoff run, lost a lot of valuable experience there. You know, just when it seemed like he was getting healthy again, the season goes on hiatus. and the team, you know, has to kind of put everything on hold. He gets COVID, which, slows a lot of things down. And, you know, he told reporters here that he hasn't experienced any COVID symptoms since June. So he got over the disease, you know, the symptom part of the disease very quickly. But for whatever reason, he's been unable to kind of build up conditioning. So he hasn't been able to kind of take the bumps or stay on the floor for longer than 5-6 minutes. And while he says he's been doing I believe that he has been, but he says he's been doing everything he can to get back. You know, he was jogging around downtown Orlando, just to try and build up conditioning. It just hasn't taken. For whatever reason, his body just isn't responding. They think he's at a good place now. And so it wouldn't surprise me if he's back on the court here in the next week or so. The Magic, you know, certainly want him out on the court. He was one of the best shot blockers in the league last year. Despite his statistics kind of leveling off to where he was his rookie year, I thought Mo was a lot better last year. I thought his feel for the game was a lot better. I thought his defensive instincts were a lot better. So I do think Mo was making progress. It's just unfortunate that injuries have kind of slowed him down. And hopefully we see him back on the court very, very soon.
Yeah, I'm hoping so. I like Mo Bamba. I really do. Thought he was a monster at Texas again. And I think when they drafted him, I said, okay, they've got a steal here in Mo Bamba. I really thought that there's a lot that he can do there. Let's talk about Chuma Okeke. This was the guy who got hurt at Auburn. Maybe would have made a difference between them and a national championship. You know, some people say that. I mean, remains to be seen. He gets taken 15th overall. I love the pick, by the way, when they drafted him, because I'm like, oh, that's brilliant. He can sit out a year. He can learn. He can go, you know, build himself back up, because this way I was a great player in college and probably would have been probably top 10 pick. Magic grabbed him at 15. What are we seeing from Chuma Okeke as he's starting to get back into basketball form for the Magic?
The first thing you see is that he is extremely rusty. He hasn't played basketball in a year and a half, and it is clear. And, you know, he's still eager. I would say that, you know, when he's on the ball, especially, you can just see that the game is just super fast for him. He's not, the game hasn't slowed down for him. There's both the absence from playing in general, plus entering the NBA, which is a whole nother level from the college game. So, you know, he's definitely still kind of getting his feet wet, and the Magic have given him all opportunities to do so. But you see little flashes here and there. Every game, there's like one or two plays that are just really kind of heady, smart plays. I mean, I don't think he's going to be a superstar or anything. You know, his confidence, you know, working off the dribble isn't quite there yet. But every game he makes one play that is just like, whoa, that's beyond what a normal rookie should do. So his instincts on both the offensive and defensive ends are really good. He's shown some ability to shoot the ball. He's certainly comfortable shooting the ball. It's just, again, about getting him back kind of into the swing of things. And I think the Magic are right to kind of limit his role a little bit. He's still on a little bit of a minutes restriction. I don't think they want him playing any more than like 20 minutes if he even reaches that far. He does a lot of really good things on the floor. I don't think his rotation spot is a token rotation spot at this point. I think he's really earned this spot in the rotation, and he does enough good things to contribute and help this team. That's again 3-0. I mean, it's not like he's done bad things. The opening night, Aaron Gordon got into foul trouble. He picked up his fourth foul early in the third quarter. Chuma came in and, you know, didn't take anything away from the team and didn't take anything away. He's, you know, still making some rookie mistakes, obviously, some rotation errors, some read errors, just because the speed of the game is a lot for him right now. But I think Okiki's off to a really good start. It's not something that's going to show up on a stat sheet. You just got to watch him and get a feel for his game. And, you know, you see him just doing a lot of good things to help this team win.
Yeah, absolutely. Bright young guy, too, from what I've seen. Was really a great team player under Bruce Pearl at Auburn. So I liked Okeke, and I liked that pick that year. I said, oh, man, the Magic, when he comes back, if he's healthy, they're going to be scary. Aaron Gordon, you brought him up. 13 points per game. A little slow for him coming out. I mean, that kind of – it happens. I'm not judging a talent based on the first three games of the season, obviously.
And let me give a small sample size alert there. He had only 6 points on Sunday, but he also didn't play the second half. So
yeah.
So, or the fourth quarter at least. So small sample size alerts are ringing on that one.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's like Tom Brady on this past weekend, you know, hey, he did great, but he only played. Imagine what he could have done if he'd played the whole game. It's one of those type things where I think Gordon is still a good fit in Orlando. I'm starting to believe. You've convinced me. You've convinced me over the years. I was never a believer in Aaron Gordon. But I think with all this help around him now, I think he could really be a key contributor. And I think we'll see that more as the season goes along. What do you see from Aaron Gordon this year?
Yeah, the trick with Aaron Gordon throughout his entire career is just trying to figure out what role he's supposed to play. You know, I think Aaron Gordon at points has had this vision of himself becoming a star and being Kobe, and he wants, you know, he does all these dribble moves and tries to take the hero shot, which is not what he is. Most people would probably say he's sort of a Sean Marion type, just a kind of wing defender, you know, a guy that fills in gaps, you know, can hit a three-pointer. Marion's a better three-point shooter, don't get me wrong, but someone who hits an open shot but is more of a complimentary player, just kind of fills gaps. And I think
Gordon's shot looks better. I'll give him that.
It looks a little bit better. I mean, the motion's a little bit more fluid. There's, you know, I think it's still a work in progress, which is, you know, rare, you know, 6-7 years into his career, he's still kind of refining his shot a little bit. But I think with Aaron, he's starting to accept that role where he's a facilitator, where he's, you know, running the floor a lot more, where he's kind of a complementary player. And that's a big, big step for him. If he's willing to do that on this team, things are going to open up for him. You know, I often tell everyone about Aaron Gordon. When the offense works, the ball finds Aaron Gordon. There's going to be pockets where he's just going to be able to cut to the basket and finish, or he's going to be open for three, or he's going to be making, you know, kind of quick reads and quick decisions where he's a lot better. When he gets to sit there and think and dribble the ball, that's when he gets into trouble. If he's making quick movements, there are very few players that can stick with him defensively because he's just so athletic and so quick off the bounce. When he makes a quick read, when he makes a quick decision, when he waits, that's when he kind of loses himself and loses his ability to attack the basket. So I think that so far things have been good for Aaron. There's been fewer of those forced shots. Defensively, I thought, especially against Miami, he played a fantastic defensive game. And so I think his defense, he's put a lot more focus on becoming a better defender, which is something he's always said he wants to be. And it's kind of come and gone depending on both opponent and season and role and all that stuff. So I think Gordon, you know, I think the Magic have been able to put Gordon in a better role that emphasizes what he's good at. And again, so much of this, you know, kind of bringing it back to where we started, so much of this is Markelle Fultz's emergence and just how much better this team has been running with Markelle Fultz on the ball a lot more.
Yeah, we talked about it for years. The Magic needed that point guard. The Magic needed that point guard. And every time we've been on the show, I'm like, is Markelle Fultz that guy? You believed. I didn't. He's proving me wrong. And, you know, hey, congrats to you on that for sticking with him. Because honestly, I never thought Markelle Fultz would be the guy. But he has proven to me that he can be the guy.
And I'll say this. It's happened a lot faster than I thought it would happen. Yeah. I had a buddy of mine who asked, you know, what do you expect from Markelle Fultz? And I was like, you know what? If he becomes Ricky Rubio, that's perfectly fine. That's all I need from him. Someone who can manage the game, distribute, defend a little bit. Doesn't have to shoot threes. I don't care if he shoots threes. And everyone focuses so much on the three-point shot. Yeah. And yes, that's something he's going to have to do. But you can work around it. Very clearly, you can work around it. I mean, again, the same guy kind of asked me, like, when was the last time a team won an NBA championship without a shooting point guard? And I said, the Lakers did last year with Rajon Rondo.
Yeah,
you know, even if you consider LeBron James their point guard, LeBron can hit a three, but that's not what he's out there to do. You can create an offense, especially with these five-out offenses. And I give Steve Clifford a lot of credit. He put a lot of focus last year on playing with more pace, and it just didn't click with this team. You know, there was still, you know, DJ Augustine was still the point guard. He's not a super fast point guard. He's not someone that gets you into your offense quicker. Markelle Fultz was a rookie. I don't think they fully trusted him at all last year. And this year, they have turned everything over to Fultz. He is really controlling the tempo of the game really, really well. The team has implemented a lot more five-out sets to try and free up the lane for him to drive. And so teams just can't duck under him as much. Yeah. And it's really, really worked, at least to this point. Obviously, two games against the Washington Wizards makes everyone look good because they're not the greatest defensive team in the world. So we'll find out a lot, you know, honestly, in the next few games. Oklahoma City is a solid defensive team. They'll play the Sixers on Thursday. And then really starting next Friday is when the meat of this January schedule starts for this Magic team. And that's when we're going to learn a lot about this team.
Yeah, and I'm enjoying – I always love my guy Vucevic. I sing his praises. He's probably the most underrated big guy in the league. He never gets any love, and he should because he's fantastic. He's just doing his thing right now, just, you know, his double-double. He's a double-double machine, and this was a guy that I would target when I did – I didn't do fantasy basketball this year, but when I do fantasy basketball – he's a fourth-round target of mine, the third- to fourth-round target, because this is a guy, he's going to get you a double-double almost every night. He's going to score. He can shoot. He just does it all. And
he's one of the best pass. I mean, if you still have a fantasy draft going on, Nikola Vucevic is one of the best passing big men in the league, too. So you're not only getting a good guy who's going to score, you know, around 20 a night, a guy who's going to get 10, 12 rebounds per night. You're getting a center that's going to give you 3-4 assists per night. And obviously not everyone gets to be Nikola Jokic. You know, Vucevic is not the kind of passer that Jokic is, but the Magic run a lot of their offense through Vucevic. He is directing traffic at the top of the key as much as anything else. He's starting to shoot a lot more threes. So if you're in a 3-point field goals made league, he'll get you some of those too. So he, you know, as far as fantasy basketball goes, he is a stat sheet stuffer.
Yeah.
And honestly, you know, I think, you know, even in Orlando, people don't appreciate everything that Nikola Vucevic has done.
Yeah. And that's sad, because if you watch the game closely and you watch Nikola Vucevic, he was kind of a precursor to guys like Jokic, those Eastern Europeans that could come in and pass and get you a double double and shoot when they need to. But I don't think without Vucevic, we don't get a guy like Jokic, in my opinion. And I don't think people realize that. One more guy I want to talk about, Evan Fournier, another just solid guard, shoots the lights out, has been in Orlando for what seems like forever. And he's another consistent piece to build with this Magic team. And they, you know, he's not a starter per se anymore with James Ennis there, but I think Fournier is always a solid go-to guy, and he can hit a big shot when need be.
Yeah. And I mean, Evan Fournier has been the Magic's big shot taker for a long time. I mean, last year was actually a down year for him in clutch minutes. But in 2019, I think he was among the league leaders in clutch points and clutch field goal percentage among like high usage players late in games. The Magic really used him as their primary ball handler. But something that's different about Evan Fournier this year is because Fultz is on the ball more, you're seeing Fournier working off the ball, and that's given him more spot up 3-point opportunities, which he didn't get a lot of chance to do, getting a lot more kind of movement off cuts, which he also didn't get a lot to do last year. And honestly, I think it's put him in a spot where he's doing something that he's been really effective at, and that's driving against rotating defenses. So moving Fournier off the ball a little bit more, making it so he's not the primary perimeter creator, which he certainly was last year. That's, I think, opened up Fournier's game a lot more. And Fournier, obviously, in a contract year, he had a career season last year. It's looking like he's doing the same thing this year. Of course, you know, Fournier will tell you he's got to prove it in the playoffs, which he hasn't done the last 2 years. But in the regular season, Evan Fournier is as reliable as it comes for this Magic team and one of the better players this group has.
Yeah, and I just noticed you guys still have Terrence Ross. I didn't see him on your roster, or as I call him, the Timberwolf Killer. Terrence Ross, my God, every time, as a Minnesota fan, every time we play the Magic, Terrence Ross shows up and destroys people. Believe it or not, there's two guys in the league that play better against Minnesota than anybody. Terrence Ross being the first, the second being Dylan Brooks from Memphis. And I don't understand how they do it, but every time they play those teams, that's the guy killer. But
it's not just you though. he's been doing it to everybody. And he's been, I mean, more than any, I think he's the team's leading scorer through three games.
Yeah, 23 points per game.
He's been tearing everybody up. I mean, he had 26 against Washington on Saturday, and then 25 against Washington on Saturday, 26 on Sunday. The guy, I mean, there's a reason that Magic fans call him the Human Torch. There's a reason his nickname is the Human Torch. He ignites and he makes baskets in bunches. And honestly, it kept the Magic in a lot of games throughout the last 3 years. It's ridiculous to me that he didn't get more love and more voting for sixth man of the year the last 2 years, because he's been one of the best sixth men in the league for a while now.
Yeah, I'm surprised he didn't get more either. I look at the standings. If you would have told me, looking at the standings, Cleveland and Orlando are going to be your top two right now in the East, I would have called you crazy. But here we are. Not so much Orlando being the top, but more so Cleveland. Nobody saw that coming. But realistically, as we get into the meat of the schedule, if you had to guess, what do you think the Magic ceiling would be in the East? I think they can be a playoff team for sure. A lot of teams have gotten better. I think Atlanta can make a case for a playoff team. I actually think Atlanta will make the playoffs, but some teams have gotten worse. What do you think is the ceiling for the Orlando Magic? Where do you think they can end up in this season?
It's still super, super early in the season. So I don't want to race to too many conclusions. My thought before the season began was, you know, the Magic's goal should be to make the playoffs. I think last year they talked about and they wanted to be a team that competed for home court advantage. You know, Fultz has taken a major step forward. And I think You know, we can maybe start flirting around with talking about that, but realistically, you know, the ceiling is probably the 6 or the 7 seed, you know, depending on how those teams, you know, there's a solid 6 teams in the Eastern Conference that feel pretty difficult to move.
Yeah.
Even Indiana, which was a team that I thought would slip a little bit, they're 3-0 at this point too. So it's hard to say who among those playoff teams are going to slip, but you know,
maybe Toronto.
It may be Toronto at this point, which would be really shocking to me. And Toronto certainly got a lot of stuff going on with them having to play in Tampa instead of Toronto.
Yeah.
I think that what we'll see is, you know, the Magic will kind of settle in. They'll be in the playoff hunt. They'll probably be in the pole position for much of the year. They'll probably settle in as the 7 or the 8 seed. I think for sure they'll be in the play-in tournament. I don't think that they'll fall so far off the radar, you know, barring injuries, that they'll be out of the play-in tournament. You know, this team's still got a lot to work on. Their defense hasn't been great, even in the preseason. It hasn't been great. It hasn't been dialed in yet. You know, the offense feels good, but you know, this is a team that still doesn't have a lot of shooting, so it's still uncertain whether the Magic are going to be able to carry over this offensive flow, which, you know, they played really good offense toward the end of last season, both before the hiatus and then even in the bubble before the injury. They were rolling offensively. They got to get their defense figured out. They got to get their pick and roll defense figured out. They got to find a way not to play close games. You know, I tell people this all the time: the good teams don't win close games; they avoid them. Close games are crapshoots, and the Magic have played some really good basketball in fourth quarters this year. But you know, Steve Clifford said it after Sunday's game: we could just as easily be 0-3 as we are 3-0. So you know, the Magic still have a lot of work to do. I think that this is clearly a team that should expect to make the playoffs. I don't think that the Magic are going to do anything to sacrifice the playoffs at this point. We'll obviously what happens a little bit closer to the trade deadline. But this is a group that should feel very, very confident that they can get out to a little bit of a hot start and maybe surprise some people and sneak in somewhere where they shouldn't be.
Okay. Well, I mean, that's a very realistic way to look at it. And that's why we have you on the show, because you're
and then they're going to win the Eastern Conference. So
it's well, there you go. That too. but before we let you go here, and we do appreciate all your time, and I do want to go ahead and please plug away where people can find you and keep up with Orlando and all your work.
Yeah, you can find all my stuff at OrlandoMagicDaily.com. You can follow me on Twitter at @PhilipR_OMD. That's Philip with one L, or at @OMagicDaily. And of course, you can follow my podcast. I do a daily podcast on the Orlando Magic if you enjoy hearing my voice at Locked On Magic. You can subscribe to that wherever you download podcasts today.
It's a wonderful voice. But, you know, we have you on, and we always end with a little bit of wrestling talk because, I mean, it's pro wrestling, right? I mean, who doesn't love it?
It's always in season.
Always in season. And you were right down there in the middle of everything down there in Orlando. You got a, you know, I know there's no real crowds allowed right now, but you were down there, and, you know, I don't, are you keeping up with everything that's going on? There's so much pro wrestling to watch now. It's hard to keep up. I know I struggle keeping up.
Yeah, my wrestling season is usually the summer. That's when I'm usually caught up on everything. You know, I certainly am aware of what's going on. I catch an episode here and there. I try to watch the pay-per-view, so I'm relatively caught up. There's still some matches and some shows that I'm trying to keep up on. But you know, I keep up with certainly my favorite characters and some of the major storylines. You know, like I love what Roman Reigns has been doing.
I think we all do.
It's
wonderful.
It feels like everything we've imagined for that character. For a long time. You know, I think a lot of people wanted him to do the heel turn, and this was the perfect way to do it. You know, I'm a sucker for a good scary story. So I'm really enjoying the Bray Wyatt and Alexa Bliss stuff. And I think sometimes wonderful. I think with Bray Wyatt, WWE's often taken it maybe one match too far.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like the Randy Orton stuff, they're, you know, it's interesting. I like how people, I really appreciate good storytelling. And I do like how everyone who's faced The Fiend, who's faced Bray Wyatt, they change. And it's a good way to kind of shift your character. And Bray doesn't, you know, I'd like to see Bray win a little bit because he's kind of falling back into that trap where he loses every big match he's in. And that kind of takes away you being
what was his nickname when he was the Eater of Worlds? They called him the Eater of Pins.
Something like that. Yeah. So I would like to see Bray win again, but you know, he doesn't need the championship to be a factor too, which again is I think a really big positive of his character. But you know, overall, you know, it's There's definitely some good things going on in the world of wrestling. It's obviously WrestleMania season. The Royal Rumble is my favorite event, so I'm so excited. I'm looking forward to it.
I mean, we do the Royal Rumble every year. We do it upright. We watch it, and I know I've been working on some wrestling stuff. And have you ever been to? Did you ever get to go to a Royal Rumble?
I went to the Rumble that was in Orlando that AJ Styles debuted at, which was like my first wrestling show in like 10, 12 years, and it was much fun. I was so happy.
That pop that Styles got.
That is the AJ Styles pop is the loudest I've ever heard the Amway Center, and I've been to a lot of events in the Amway Center. That was the loudest I've ever heard that building.
I think the loudest pop I've ever heard. I was at the Raw after WrestleMania in Miami when Brock debuted. That was a loud pop. Also, the false finish during the Undertaker Hell in a Cell match with Triple H after the super kick and pedigree. That was loud. But that was in a stadium, so it wasn't as loud as...
Yeah. Like when the Hardys debuted at WrestleMania down here, I felt like everyone knew that was coming, but it was still like a loud pop when their music hit.
How can it not be?
I know. I still don't know how they put that match together.
Quickly.
It's probably on the fly because from what I understand, nobody knew the Hardys were there until like an hour before the show or something like that.
Yeah. Another one was Chris Jericho when he came back at the 2013 Royal Rumble in Phoenix. I was there for that, and that may have been the loudest pop I've ever heard. It was so loud because nobody knew Jericho was there, and it was so loud. And I was at the 2014 Rumble where the crowd just crapped on the show when Batista won and Daniel Bryan wasn't even in the match. That's the angriest wrestling crowd I've ever seen. But I mean, wrestling fans are like basketball fans, football fans. We're past.
I will say this: I have a good friend, John Alba, who thinks that these kind of digital shows are the way WWE is going to go in the future. They're going to not go on tour as much. I don't think that would be good for wrestling. The crowd is part of the show, and I do think wrestling is missing something without a crowd there.
Well, like I said, would the Hulk Andre body slam be as important if the crowd wasn't going nuts? The Hogan Rock stare off at Mania 18. I mean, Austin and Brett with the sharpshooter and the blood coming down, the crowd's going crazy. Would it be as important? No, it just wouldn't.
No.
And I think we'll get back to that. Hopefully this vaccine rolls out.
Hopefully by the end of the year. Hopefully by Survivor Series.
That would be cool. Be cool. Yeah. I'm hoping we can get there. But
I'll say this: I went to the Magic game, one of the preseason games, without like the full crowd, and it is weird.
Yeah,
they're doing their best. I applaud everyone, but it is weird.
It's hard, but I'm glad they're doing it because I think that helps right now during this, and especially if we didn't have our sports, I don't know what we would do.
Seriously.
But Philip, appreciate you coming on as always. Again, everybody, check out Philip of Orlando Magic Daily. Follow him on Twitter. He's probably the guest that's been on this show the most. And, I think he's our favorite. I'm not going to lie. He's awesome. He's great. And because he talks wrestling, too. He talks basketball, wrestling. What more do you want? I mean, come on. But, yeah, check him out. Philip Rossman, right? Philip with one L. That gets me all the time, by the way. It does.
And it's offensive when I see two L's there.
Well, Phil, thanks again, man. Really appreciate you and hope to have you back on later in the season. Maybe the Magic might still be undefeated. You never know.
Well, we'll see when the Magic are 25-0.
Hey, if it happens, you're the first guy I'm calling.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks again, man. Bye-bye. Are you tired of the same old average everyday lifestyle and the same old job that has you making less money than what you know you're worth? Well, you should head on over to stripcamfun.com. On Strip Cam Fun, there are tons of eligible men and women waiting to perform for you, and you can join in on the fun yourself. Just head on over at stripcamfun.com where you can strip on cam and have some fun. If you get there right now, you'll get to see some of the most beautiful women, men, and whatever else your heart desires, and you can take advantage of the good times being had on stripcamfun.com. Make sure you get there right now and let them know that Wide Men Can't Jump brought you over. Because stripcamfun.com is not just for everyone. Must be 18 years of older to join in on the good times. Strip Cam Fun, be sure to visit right now. It's stripcamfun.com where you can strip on cam and have some fun. Thanks again to our great sponsors. And again, thanks to Phil Rossman-Reich for coming back on the show and hanging out and talking magic with us. Always good to talk to him. Phil's a great guy. And we'll have him back throughout the season periodically as well. And if everything goes according to plan, I'm hoping Monday, Jared Weiss will be joining us on the show. I'll be doing a recording him. He should be on the show next week if all goes according to plan. Of course, he's a Celtics staff writer for The Athletic, so should be talking to Celtics next week. So all of our Celtic faithful, get ready. Jared will be joining us. All right, Tim, let's shift gears. Okay, hold on. Go for it.
Are you seeing me?
Yes, I see you.
Oh, because you're frozen.
Okay.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to make sure this thing was still working.
No, you're working. I see
you. Oh, all right. Okay. All right. Carry on, then.
All right. Hold on one second.
Maybe it'll come back. Maybe it won't. Don't know. Oh, there you go.
Okay.
All right. Fair enough.
Here we go. All right. We're going to talk football now as we are headed to week 17. Some teams have clinched. Some teams are looking to get in. There's still some seating to go around. There's a lot going on here.
Some teams are clinching.
Yeah, there's quite a few. All right, so yeah. I'm going to take a look at the playoff scenarios here. Are you ready for some of this?
It's a little bit, considering there's only a week left, it's still pretty polluted with that extra playoff spot.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, here we go. Get your pens and paper ready.
this is now part of your SATs.
Yes, here we go. Tennessee clinches the AFC South Division title with a win or an Indianapolis loss. You know, I'm not even going to include the ties. You know what? Just not including the ties.
Just go for who's in and who's not. Yeah.
All right, Tennessee with a win or an Indianapolis loss. All right, Tennessee can also just clinch a playoff berth with a Baltimore loss or a Miami loss, and then there's a bunch of crap about a tie, and I'm not even worried about that. Here's the thing. Baltimore loses, Miami loses, even Tennessee loses. They're in, okay? Miami clinches a playoff berth with a win or a Baltimore loss or a Cleveland loss or an Indianapolis loss. Baltimore clinches a playoff berth with a Baltimore win, a Cleveland loss, or an Indianapolis loss. Cleveland clinches a playoff berth with a win or an Indianapolis loss, a Tennessee loss, a Miami win, and a Baltimore win. So, yeah, there's that. The Colts can clinch the AFC South title with a win and a loss by Tennessee. And the Colts can clinch a playoff berth with them winning and Baltimore losing, them winning and Cleveland losing, them winning and Miami losing. So there's that. Here's some of the tiebreakers in the AFC. Buffalo's ahead of Pittsburgh based on head-to-head. Tennessee's ahead of Indianapolis in the AFC South based on conference record. Miami's ahead of Baltimore and Indianapolis based on conference record. Baltimore's ahead of Cleveland in the AFC North based on head-to-head. Cleveland's ahead of Indianapolis based on head-to-head. And New England is ahead of the Chargers based on head-to-head. Those two won't matter. The last
as in my understanding, though, that in the AFC, it's just a matter of where they're falling. The eight has already been decided.
No.
There's seven getting in this year. Okay, but it's down to. There's only eight teams that are in that possibility.
Five teams are fighting for four spots. Right, Kansas City, Buffalo, and Pittsburgh have clinched.
Correct.
Tennessee, Miami, Baltimore, Cleveland, Indianapolis can all get in.
So the Raiders are done. The Patriots, the Chargers, Broncos, Bengals, Texans, Jets, Jags are all out.
All done.
Okay, fair enough.
All right, now let's see if I can find the NFC playoff scenarios. Because that was the AFC. Let me see if I can change it to the NFC here.
The NFC is much more.
Oh, here we go. All right, here we go. Green Bay gets a first-round bye with a win or a Seattle loss. New Orleans gets the first-round bye with a win, a Green Bay loss, and a Seattle win. Seattle gets a first-round bye with a win, a Green Bay loss, and a New Orleans loss. Washington clinches the NFC East division title with a win or a Dallas loss. Los Angeles can clinch a playoff berth. Or wait a minute, no. Washington wins, or Washington has a tie. Okay, Washington needs to win. They can't just lose. Los Angeles can clinch a playoff berth with a win or a Chicago loss. Chicago clinches a playoff berth with a win or a loss by Arizona. Arizona clinches.
Washington doesn't need a win. As long as if they lose and Dallas loses, Washington wins the tie, has the tie break over.
Oh, okay.
For Dallas, they both can lose, but Washington would still get in that scenario.
Okay, I apologize. Chicago gets a playoff berth if they win. Arizona loses. Arizona gets a playoff berth if they win or Chicago loses. Dallas clinches the NFC East with a win and a Washington loss. And New York can clinch the NFC division with a win and a Washington loss. So there you go.
And the Bears have got the tiebreak over Arizona. So if they both lose, the Bears will finish ahead of Arizona.
Yes.
What else did I see on there?
The Bears just got to win. Tampa can stay at the 5 if they win. If the Rams win and Tampa loses, I believe the Rams will actually hop the Bucks and go to the 5 seed, where Tampa will fall to 6.
Right. Who has the... So if Seattle loses and they stay 11-5.
Yes.
And New Orleans loses and they stay 11-5.
Green Bay gets the first round bye.
Okay, but what if Tampa wins and they're 11-5? Do they... Will they be seeded ahead of either of those two?
No, because
New Orleans has got the tiebreak on Seattle.
New Orleans owns the tiebreaker
on Seattle, but it doesn't say anything here about them having it on Tampa Bay.
The wild card, it's the division winner.
Although they beat them anyway.
Division winner. So. Division winners get the 3 and 4 automatically. The 5, 6, 7 are wild cards.
All right. Okay, yeah, that's why Washington's in the 4 hole right now.
Yeah, and that's why I want Tampa to stay at the 5.
And, you know, as bad as the Cowboys have been, and they've been horrendous. They've been bad. They still are the 9th seed. Even by record, they're the 9th seed. That's just that's sad, man.
It's not been good.
Mind you, I guess the 9th seed in the AFC is only a game better. The Raiders are 7-8, so.
Yeah. All right, well, let's look at last week. We talked about Tampa Bay beating Detroit and beating them like a drum on Saturday. That one sparked the Bucs to clinch a playoff berth. We talked Vikings-Saints. We did see 49ers beat the Cardinals, which hurt the Cardinals' chances. 20-12, 49ers beat the Cardinals last week on Saturday.
I didn't like it.
I know, we had money on it.
I didn't like it even one bit.
Kind of a useless win for the Niners, but hey, a win is a win, I guess.
They can at least tell themselves that their team is injured up and down the lineup.
They've not been healthy all year.
Yeah, so. Them losing is not as painful as some of the other franchises. Yeah.
Dolphins, we got to talk about this one. Dolphins beat the Raiders 26-25 in the most Oakland Raider way ever.
One of the sweetest last 30 seconds of a football game
I couldn't believe it.
I'm sitting on the couch with the better half. The Raiders score. And they bungled it, too, because they didn't score right away.
They were trying to save time.
But they could have taken the touchdown. And they didn't, right?
Yeah.
And then they took some timeouts and kicked the field goal, which made no sense to me whatsoever. I just take the touchdown and, I understand trying to kill some clock, but why not keep one of those downs and try to score a touchdown instead of just timeout or whatever they did there at the end? But anyways, so they're winning, and I'm like, okay, the chances of a victory here are not real good. Fitzmagic's in the game.
The magic, baby. He's a magic man.
Mama. It takes a vicious face mask and manages to heave a 30-yard pass.
Right on the money.
Yeah, right in the numbers. And I'm like, God damn, they're going to get a chance to kick a field goal. And sure enough, they did. And the look on John Gruden's face was only matched by Bill Belichick smashing his phone the other night when they lost.
Yeah. Sanders hits the go-ahead 44-yard field goal with 1 second remaining. Raiders got a Raider, folks. I hate to say I told you so, but I told you so.
Again, a how-to video on how not to manage the clock and play calling in the last minute of the football game.
Yep. All right. Colts lose to the Steelers. Steelers clinch AFC North. 28-20.
Ugly football game.
Yeah, Pittsburgh was down early, but they found a way. They battled back. So good for Pittsburgh. They clinched the North after losing three straight. They make the they'll have a home game in the playoffs. Who will have to see?
They're gonna get clobbered.
Well, who knows? We'll see. They may have figured it out.
My prediction is they're going to get clobbered. Just
okay. Hey, I'm not saying you're right.
I make it purely for Earl, but
yeah, that's why he's not hearing this. Chiefs Falcons. Chiefs win 17-14. I told you Atlanta would cover, Chiefs, and they did.
Yeah, Chiefs again do just enough to win.
14-1 Chiefs. They've clinched the first round bye. They're not playing hardly anybody next week.
There was a big, there's a big story on, I can't remember if it was The Athletic or ESPN, one of the two, about how the, they believe that the Chiefs are just bored.
Possibility.
No. Well, we'll see if they ramp it up come playoff time, but.
Well, hopefully they get out of that rut before the playoffs if you're a betting man on the Chiefs.
Yeah, none of them are going to play this week. So.
Yeah, they'll have a week off. Sometimes that works. Or they're going to have 2 weeks off. I don't know. I don't know if I agree with that. But we'll see.
I think I treat it like a preseason game. I
play them a little bit.
Yeah, I start them and they maybe play a quarter or something. And then
That's a double-edged sword. Some people swear they need to play a little bit just to keep the rust off. Some people say it's best to sit them. You don't want to get anybody hurt. I've seen both pay off, and I've seen both fail miserably. So, I don't know.
I don't know. Do you go to your guys and just ask them? Like, do you ask Patrick Mahomes, hey, do you need to throw a few balls in the game situation here? You make play calls where you're not too worried about him getting
caught. Yeah.
You don't let him run. You're not calling any sneaks or anything like that, probably. But I don't know what you do. I guess each
– It's a double-edged sword, like I said. There's really no right or wrong decision there, but there is, if that makes any sense.
Well, there is, but it's only decided once the
exactly. Once the playoffs roll around, then you know if you made the right call. Bears smash the Jags 41-17. Jacksonville clinches the number one pick in the draft. Congratulations, Tony.
In related news, Trevor Lawrence moves to...
Trevor Lawrence has decided to stay at Clemson, not an AEW fan.
Has transferred from Clemson to another school so he can play a fifth or sixth year. Isn't that how that works?
He's got another year of eligibility at Clemson.
Well, but boy, I don't know. I mean, it's not going to matter, though. I mean, if he's going to be the number one pick, he ain't going to anybody that's any good.
If I was him, I would just go ahead and go. I would just go ahead and go to Jacksonville. They've got good receivers. They've got a good running back. Ownership's kind of questionable, but you got lucky. You're not going to the Jets, kid.
Yeah, don't you go and say, look, you better do everything you can to make me better, or at least that I don't get killed playing for this franchise. And if not, as soon as I can get out of here, I'm leaving. So you can pick. Do you want me to Haskins it up, or do you want me to?
We'll talk about him in a minute. By the way, Chicago, 30-plus points in 4 straight games. First time since 65. Mitchell Trubisky, man.
Getting it done. I can't deny him right now. I don't like the Bears. Not a fan. Don't think they're going to win much, but they're playing pretty good right now. Right. So
they're getting their stride at the right time. I mean, they sneak in the playoffs. They could be a tough out.
I believe it's got something to do with loaded matzah sticks.
Good. Good. Bogus is making them all hibachi food before the games.
And he's been talking to Daniel Hoff, and they're laced with stuff.
Bengals beat the Texans. Bengals, 2 straight wins for the first time since weeks 4 and 5 of 2018. 37-31, they beat the Texans.
Without their franchise quarterback.
Yeah.
Weird.
Texans are disappointing.
Something going on in Houston where J.J. Watt comes out.
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
J.J. Watt just threw his entire team under the bus after the last loss.
They should.
Questioned their heart and all that kind of thing, which that's never a good sign, though.
Well, also, Texans' first pick belongs to Miami. It's now a top five pick. So the Dolphins are getting a first pick from the Texans this year.
And they don't really need one.
Well, can always use a good...
Well, yeah, they could live without it. I mean, I'm sure they'll take it, but maybe they in Houston, they're still... they haven't forgotten the Alamo yet there.
Maybe. That was San Antonio, but okay.
Texas, though.
It's a big country, Texas.
San Antonio ain't got a football team, so...
That's true.
And it ain't the Cowboys, because they don't remember anything.
They remember Jason Garrett. Speaking of Jason Garrett, he's the offensive coordinator for the Giants. They lose to the Ravens 27-13. Now they need a miracle if they're going to sneak into the playoffs.
You got to figure. If I had to put money on it, I don't like Washington's chances because they got no quarterback. I mean, Josh Allen might, or not Josh Allen. What's his name?
Alex Smith, sorry.
Whoever their guy is, he might play but might not. I got to think that Dallas is in the driver's seat here. They could actually, because they should beat the Giants, I think. If I had to put money on it, I'd say they would. And I think Dallas is going to back their way into the division.
They might.
Which is just so ridiculous.
They might. They have,
in which, you know, I'm a Cowboys fan, and yet I have to say, if they win the division, I hope they get beat by 60 points in the playoff game because they deserve to be beaten that bad.
Well, let's hope it's Tampa and it happens. All right, let's move on.
Well, then you know what's going to happen. Dallas is going to beat Tampa. That's what's going to happen there.
Probably. Browns-Jets. Jets win again, 23-16. They've won two straight.
Jets figured, well, we screwed up that first-round pick. Shit, we might as well win a couple.
Well, the thing with the Jets is I'm not blaming Cleveland for this one. I think they only had one wide receiver that was available. So,
yeah, I don't know. We'll see what the Jets really thought about their season if their coach survives.
He won't.
He should.
But I think Sam Darnold might be legit there, and I think the Jets need to start looking for an offensive line. That's my two cents. Panthers beat the Washington football team 20-13 in an ugly football game that nobody really wanted to win, but they did it.
This is what happens when you got two teams that really don't know too much about the W's. I mean,
well, and then Dwayne Haskins. Why don't you bring up what happened there?
Well, Dwayne just, again, doesn't seem to understand COVID protocols, and he's been fined twice, stripped of the captaincy of the team. Then apparently was supposed to be at some kind of team meetings and missed them because he was at a party somewhere, and a couple more things that were alleged that I don't know if are true or not. But, I mean, the guy's basically self-sabotaged his career. Coach even said, you know, it's not because he doesn't have he has the talent. It's the mental part of it. He just doesn't – he thinks he's still in college.
That's an issue. Can't have that.
So, you know, somebody is already suggesting, though, that he might be a prime pickup for the New England Patriots.
They sure like to pick those guys up. It didn't work out with Cam, so we'll see here.
Okay, but the Patriots basically could replace almost every player they have.
True.
For upgrading. So, I mean, can you really blame? I mean, Cam Newton didn't play that well either, but... What was he going to do? Who's he throwing the ball to there?
True. I'll give you that. Edelman getting hurt big time.
I mean, you and I could probably try out for the Patriots and we might get on. At least make a practice squad.
Yeah. Well, Washington needs a big win this week to get to the playoffs. Broncos, Chargers. Chargers win 19-16. Herbert, 28 passing touchdowns this season, a rookie record for the NFL. He's rookie of the year, right? Gotta be.
Should be. I don't know who else would be. But
yeah, it's got to be Herbert.
NFL can botch that, though. You wait.
Well, give this kid a little more time next year and get him a better line. I think he's going to be something special. Cowboys beat the Eagles 37-17 as Dallas runs away with it.
Told you, Tom Robinson. I told you.
You did.
The Eagles are just, they're just dysfunction on every level right now. They don't know what's going on. Looks like they might have a quarterback there now, finally, but.
It's like they waited too long to go to him, though.
Well, and everything else around him is such a in such disarray that.
Yeah. Well, plenty to work on next season for the Eagles. They will not be making the playoffs. Rams lose to the Seahawks 20-9. Seahawks clinch NFC West. So, Seahawks have a little bit to play for this week. Can still clinch that number one bye.
And the Rams will be without Jared Goff for their last game because he has a dislocated thumb and had surgery and is out.
Well, I don't know. Who's their backup? Do you know?
I have no idea.
I have no idea either. Let's
Bubby Brister. Might as well be.
Rams backup quarterback, Case Keenum. Or no, are they? No, Rams set to re-sign Blake Bortles.
Oh, good Lord.
It says here, John Wolford, now Rams starting quarterback. Yep, John Wolford.
John Wolford from North Carolina?
Wake Forest.
Wake Forest, close. All right.
Well, there you go. If he can get him into the playoffs, more power to him. So we'll see.
I better send Nick Hoff a message of condolence.
Also, I'm going to have to go place a quick bet here next week. All right.
I don't know. I think that game might not be on the...
Yeah, it's probably not.
They may have pulled it for that very reason.
Sunday Night Football. Packers run over the Titans. Just waylaid them. 40-14. Packers. They look like the team to beat right now, honestly.
They seem to be clicking at the right time if it holds up. Whereas the Steelers and a lot of the other teams are trending down.
Yeah. And then here's another team that's going to be tough to beat. Buffalo. They beat the Patriots 38-9. Jared Allen ends up with 34 passing touchdowns this season, a single season record for the Bills.
Who?
Josh Allen, excuse me. Jared Allen plays for the Brooklyn Nets.
All right.
Fair enough. My apologies.
I wasn't sure. It just didn't sound quite right. And I'm sitting there going,
Even when I said it, I said, oh, that's not right, is it? And I was like, no, it's not. Sorry.
We're gonna see what the Bills are made out of because they're gonna get a tough test here the last week.
Yeah, they are. All right, let's go ahead and jump into our picks real quick for this week. Again, this is gonna be our last week of regular season pick 'em, and then we'll set the table and see where we go from there. All right, Jets on the road at New England, Jets plus 3.
Okay, I'll take the Jets.
I'm with you. I'm taking the Jets as well.
I haven't said that very many times this year.
No, we haven't.
But I think I'll take the Jets.
Minnesota on the road to Detroit. Detroit plus 6.5.
And now without Dalton Cook.
Alvin.
Or whatever. Dalton. I got the last name right. You know who I was talking about.
I'm proud of you.
I don't know. This should be a pick'em game, I think.
I'm gonna take Minnesota because I don't think Matt Stafford is playing for Detroit.
Yeah, okay. If Stafford is out. Yeah, because didn't he
I'm pretty sure he's not gonna play the rest of the year.
Did he get hammered?
Yeah, Tampa just killed him.
Yeah. Okay, well, fair enough then. Okay. Vikings by default.
Yeah, I'm kind of the same way there. Miami is in Buffalo. Miami plus 3.
I got to take Buffalo. I like Miami, but I got to take Buffalo.
I don't know how much Buffalo is going to play this week.
Well, have they got anything to gain?
That's what I'm wondering. I don't know. I don't know if they can make it to the – they may be able to make it to the 2 spot instead of the 3.
They're what? They're 12-3.
Yeah, I don't know if they can move up or not. I'm assuming that they can, and that may be if they do, I'm going to take Buffalo.
Well, do they need to win to keep out of?
They've already won the division,
right? But there's got to be something to the 2 and 3 spot? Yes, no.
the two spot plays somebody that's right. Two spot will play the seven seed, the three spot will play the six. Okay,
so Pittsburgh is also 12-3. So if and they okay, but Buffalo does have the tiebreaker over Pittsburgh if they both lose.
Well, but I guess it's.
You think they'd want to win? I mean, do you want to play? Do you want to play Baltimore or Cleveland?
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Bills then. I think they need to win.
So they probably and you know you think you probably want to ride that train, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm going to go with Buffalo.
I would think anyway. I like Buffalo in that game anyway, but Miami I think might have used up their luck for the season.
Baltimore, Cincinnati. Cincinnati plus 13.
That's got to be Baltimore, but
yeah, Baltimore. They're hitting their stride, and Cincinnati has nothing really to play for. Well, Pittsburgh
and Baltimore. Ahead, and Baltimore does. Yeah. So
Pittsburgh is in Cleveland. Pittsburgh is plus 10. They must not be playing anybody.
Well, you got to wonder why, though.
I'm not sure. I really don't know.
I mean, maybe Pittsburgh don't care about being two, I guess. They can't go any lower than three. So.
No, they're not. Steelers resting some starters. That's what it says here. It says here the announced Mason Rudolph will start in this game, week 17. Browns need to win. It says here if the... Says here, while the Ravens should have no problem with the Bengals, the Dolphins could be playing a Bills team that is also resting its stars. I don't know. It seems like the two and the three, they're not too much worried about that. So, I don't know.
Okay, well, then that maybe changes your, you know.
It definitely changes your bet for Buffalo. I think it moved play Miami there.
Now, again, though, now that depends on whether Miami's got anything to, you know, are they going to.
I mean, they're coming off an extra week of rest, or extra day of rest. They beat the Raiders. I mean,
and Miami's got to. I mean, they're tied with all those teams are 10-5.
Yeah,
like I would think they need to win, right?
Oh, absolutely, they do.
Okay, so then maybe you take Miami over Buffalo.
Yeah, and then Cleveland needs to win, and I'm going to take Cleveland minus 10 against Pittsburgh.
So maybe you take Cleveland over Pittsburgh too. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Dallas Giants plus 3.
I think the Cowboys have actually played fairly well the last week or two.
Yeah, I'm going to take.
I'll take the Cowboys. Yeah.
Yeah, me too. Tampa Bay, Atlanta in Tampa, Atlanta plus 6.5.
Okay, Atlanta sucks. Got nothing to play for. Tampa Bay can improve their standings in any way, shape, or form.
They want to keep that 5 seed, I believe, because they would play the NFC East winners.
Well, they
don't, then they'll probably have to go. They'll have to go play in Seattle if they lose, and if they lose and the Rams win, then they'll have to go play in Seattle versus having to go play at either Washington, Dallas, or New York.
That might be one of those ones where
they get a big.
Yeah, depending on what happens, you may see some guys come out of that game possibly.
Yeah, I'm going to take Tampa. I think they can win by that much, though. Green Bay is in Chicago. Chicago plus 5.5.
Well, Packers again,
made the clinch first round bye, so I'm taking Green Bay.
Yeah, and they don't like each other. I don't think that's a game where Green Bay sits there some of their guys or anything like that. Don't think that's happening.
Let's see here. We're looking at Tennessee is in Houston. It's Houston plus 7.5. Tennessee, I think, wins this one.
Should.
But I think they need to win. So
they need to win, and the Texans aren't very good. So.
Yeah. Chargers are in Kansas City. Chargers plus 10.5. Boy, I like the Chargers in this one.
I do, too, at that line. You should. I've got... ESPN has the Chargers minus 3.5.
Well, this is the line I'm looking at here, but it, of course, most of the lines have been pulled. I like the Chargers either way, honestly.
Yeah, because if the Chiefs aren't going to play their guys.
Yeah, I mean, that's a Charger win all day.
It should be. I mean, you'd think.
New Orleans is in Carolina. Carolina plus 6.5. I think New Orleans really, I guess they got a chance at the first round bye. They won't know, so I guess I got to take New Orleans here.
Yeah, again, it depends on how seriously they care about getting another spot up or whatever.
Oh, they want that bye. They want the bye.
You would think, but yeah, and I got to take New Orleans anyway.
Yeah. Jacksonville's in Indianapolis. Indianapolis is, or Jacksonville's plus 14.
Okay, the Colts need to win, so... Yeah,
I'm taking the Colts.
I can't pick the Jaguars.
They're awful. Arizona versus the Rams. Rams are plus 3. They're in L.A.
Yeah, except no Goff. So, and I know nothing about their replace. I think I got to take Arizona.
Too. No backup. I'm just not a fan of that.
Yeah, that's never a good recipe, usually.
All right. Seattle is in San Francisco. Seattle can clinch a first-round bye with some help, but they got to win. So San Francisco's plus 6.
Yeah, I like the Seahawks in that.
Yeah, me too.
6. If it was any more than 6, I might say San Francisco might cover, but probably not.
All right. Las Vegas is in Denver in a completely useless game. Denver plus 2.5.
What's the over under on John Gruden goof ups?
I'll take the over.
Take the over on if it's only 6. Take the over.
I'm taking Denver with the points. I'm going to take Denver there. I think Denver...
I don't know, and I probably should, but I haven't really heard. I haven't bothered to find out. Probably closer to the truth. What's it like to go out in a game where, okay, it's the last game of the season. We're both finished. Nobody can make the playoffs. Is that incentive to play better? Or is it like, who gives a shit? Let's just get this game over with without anybody getting hurt kind of thing.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. The Raiders are probably a little bit better than Denver and probably should win this game. But how hard is anybody? Like, okay, Derek Carr, for instance, where there's talk about running him out of town. Like, do you go out there and play really well or do you go out there and not care? Like, I don't know.
I don't know. I'm going to take Denver, though. I think Denver is a team here to take. That's just
me. They're up and coming, are they?
No. But I think they beat the Raiders.
They're up and coming, beating up to beat the Raiders, yeah.
And here's the Sunday night game, the fun-filled Sunday night game, Washington and Philadelphia. Philadelphia, plus 2.
Now, I would think that Washington should be able to beat the Eagles. They beat them once already this year, opening night, mind you. However, I don't know who's quarterbacking for Washington. And that, Haskins is gone, so it ain't going to be him.
Yeah.
Is Alex Smith capable of playing? Or,
because
if he's not playing and Haskins isn't playing, who's quarterbacking? Like, who's going to be out there? Okay, they've got Alex Smith is questionable. Of course, Kyle Allen is in. It's going to be Taylor Heineke, whoever he is.
I don't know.
Fourth season out of Old Dominion. So he's probably going to be starting. So, wow. Yeah, I don't know. I think I might have to take the Eagles.
I'm taking the Eagles. That's who I'm taking. I mean, I think that's... They're at home. And how sweet would it be to put your team out, put your rival, your division rival out. Granted, you're putting the Cowboys in, but...
I mean, you've got Washington. Okay, Alex Smith is questionable. Antonio Gibson is questionable. Terry McLaurin is doubtful. Like, half their... they've got two guards that are questionable. So even if they're playing, they're at least banged up. I think that Philadelphia is going to win this baby.
Yeah, I agree. Well, those are our picks this week. We hope you have a good week betting. We're going to have Two commercials here back to back. Our good friends at Atomic Comics Collectibles LLC and our good friends at Stay Classy Meats. You'll hear from both of them. And then we're going to go into our final segment for today. It's the Unsolved Mystery segment of the show. We'll be right back. Stay Classy Meats is your online meat market where you can get the best quality meat for competitive prices. Head on over to StayClassyMeats.com and use the promo code WIDEMEN to save 10% on your order. That's right, if you head to StayClassyMeats.com, you can save 10% on your order with promo code WIDEMEN, but that's not all. Not only will Stay Classy Meats give you 10% off, they're also throwing in a free pound of Montana grass-fed ground beef. Make sure you get over to StayClassyMeats.com right now to check out their selection. Whether it be pork, ribs, chicken, steak, bison, ribeye, or any other type of meat that you desire, you can get it at StayClassyMeats.com. They are high-quality meat that you will not want to miss out on. If you like to eat well and eat clean and eat some of the best quality product out there, Stay Classy Meats is for you. Again, head to StayClassyMeats.com right now. If you're into comic books and collectibles, then you are going to want to check out Atomic Comics and Collectibles LLC. They buy and sell comic books, action figures, Pop Funkos, vintage video game system, vinyl records, and other collectibles. Retro and vintage collectibles are their specialty. They have fair and competitive pricing on all their items. Their prices will make you say,
"Oh my God!"
Currently, they run on Facebook, and they're in the process of getting their own storefront in Logan, West Virginia. Give their Facebook page a like and keep updated on new merchandise and announcements for Comic Cons and store opening in your area. They do ship, but only within the United States at this time. Atomic Comics and Collectibles LLC, where yesterday's memories are today's future. If you are looking for anything comic book or collectible wise, you are going to want to do one thing.
Assemble.
And head over to Atomic Comics and Collectibles LLC. Check out their Facebook page, Atomic Comics and Collectibles LLC. Jack Dolly Gray was an end from Princeton University in 1922. He was rumored to be an All-American honoree, played in the NFL. The only problem? The only All-American honors at Princeton in 1922 was Howard Gray. This was an alias that became known as an imposter named Dolly Gray. How did this man get onto the field, and how was he successful in playing for the St. Louis All-Stars and the Green Bay Packers? Will you look at White Men Can't Jump's Unsolved Mysteries? Take a listen to this story, if you will, ladies and gentlemen. There was once a man named Dolly Gray, G-R-A-Y, Dolly Gray. And apparently, there was an imposter. The Dolly Gray imposter was an unknown American football player who played under the name, which was an alias, Jack Dolly Gray. An end from Princeton University in 1922. Was rumored to be an All-American honoree. However, the only known player named Gray to be awarded a consensus All-American honors at Princeton in 1922 was Howdy Gray, who was also an end. Under the alias, the imposter actually played in the NFL in 1923 for the St. Louis All-Stars and the Green Bay Packers. He approached the coaches, and there was player coaches at the time. Remember, the NFL was not what it once was. And they signed him. And he played in three games, and then they witnessed how bad he was and discovered that he had lied. And he was a man claiming to be Dolly Gray. He was an imposter. And he ended up, you know, still went around and played some other places. Apparently, he played for the Packers. According to Lambeau, Gray played in one game with the Packers and had played poorly. Then, after boarding the train for the team's game in St. Louis, he disappeared. And apparently, they admitted that Lambeau, the deal between the two clubs regarding Gray was a joke. Explained he was a con man, had deceived his way onto the All-Stars roster, and then thought he would try to recycle the trick on Lambeau in good fun. And the person who did it, his identity still to this day remains unknown.
Bruce Pobans.
But how about that? A guy lies his way onto a football team and becomes a player, plays in a few games, and is so bad that they're like, yeah, dude, you're not who you say you are.
Yeah, Mito, you know, what a time when you could just, like, pack your suitcase. And if you moved further away than the circulation of the paper or of the local radio station,
yeah,
nobody knew who you were.
Yeah, it's true. You could get away with it back then. I mean, you know, it's crazy.
You would, because people did it in business all the time. You
know? Oh, yeah.
I had a failed business. Oh, I'll just move to the next town down the road and change my name to something else and carry on.
And it worked a lot of times.
Ed Bogus.
He was a failed sous chef who...
Well, I mean, in full disclosure, not really his name, is it?
Oh, giving away secrets.
Well, I don't think that's a secret. I think that's just what it is, right? You know?
Yeah, I suppose you're right.
You know, I think he just goes by that. I assume it's his middle name, but I don't really know.
No, it wasn't. I see you don't remember things.
No.
But anyway, we should do an unsolved mystery on who is Ed Bogus.
Well, no, if we're ever going to do an unsolved mystery, it's whatever happened to Baby.
Oh, we got to really dig deep for that one. But yeah, I thought that the Dolly Gary or the Dolly Gray story was kind of neat. You know, just a guy lying his way onto a team. And nobody ever found out who he actually was. Just a guy...
He's lucky that it's football from that era, because if you tried that stuff now and pulled it off, you might get killed out
of it. Oh, yeah, I guarantee it. Guaranteed.
Back then it was, I mean, I'm sure the game was rough back then.
Well, yeah, but, the leather helmet period.
But not rough like it is now, though.
Well, you didn't have athletes back then like you have now. Like, you had tough guys, don't get me wrong, but not to the, you didn't have 350-pound linemen that could run a 4.4.
Well, and probably a bit more of a gentleman's game, like, you know, okay, I will tackle you, but I'm not going to try to separate your head from your body nowadays, where there's some of that stuff going on.
Well, apparently he only lasted a handful of games, so.
See, I thought your unsolved mystery was going to be the Johnny Manziel story.
That was an interesting story that popped up as well. Go ahead and bring that up. I know you saw it.
Well, I don't know that. I mean, it's a bit of a stretch, isn't it? You know, he's getting his fifth chance at football, but it's a seven on seven league, so it's not really.
He tells ESPN he's joining fan controlled football startup league. So,
how old is Johnny Manziel? I mean, he can't be that young anymore already. He's 28. Okay, yeah. So he's not that old. Talk about, you know, that's we got to do a show about first round picks that just went into oblivion. You know, we got him and RG3, and although at least he stayed in the league for a little while.
Yeah.
Haskins has now been added to the list. Been a lot of quarterbacks that have just flamed right out.
Right out. It's been a mess. But speaking of flaming out, that's going to do it this week for White Men Can't Jump.
It's the Tom Robinson Show.
We appreciate everybody for tuning in and having some fun with us this week. It was a fun show. Thanks to Philip Rossman Wright for jumping back on. Thanks to all our great listeners. You can download us everywhere. If you're just now tuning in for the first time, thank you. Our downloads have shot up. So thanks everybody for tuning in and listening. And
hey, pandemic.
Yeah. And thanks again to Tim for co-hosting with me as always, getting me off topic all the time. But that's what he's here for. So, well, we'll be back next week with more on the NBA, and we'll be talking playoff football. We got plenty to get into next week. Again, Jared Weiss should be on next week talking Celtics. Plenty to get ready for as the NBA season picks up some momentum and some steam. Tim, anything you want to add before we get out of here?
I should throw in there that the NBA ratings way up, except for Christmas Day. Christmas Day took a beating.
Well, the games weren't that good, and there was a football game on, and it's Christmas.
Yeah. But the ratings are up significantly from last year.
And not really surprising, honestly.
Not really. Not a lot of competition at this moment.
That's true. That too.
So, but
and they're staying away from politics, so I think that's helping.
It's not hurting, but anyways. So, yeah. All right. So, Yeah, I hope to be new and improved for 2021. Going to be at least like 50 pounds lighter, so look for that.
Yeah.
That's going to be interesting.
Well,
and probably be dead by summer. So.
There you go. We'll find him skin and bones up somewhere in Flin Flon. All right, that's going to do it for this week. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. Tim, send us home.
All right, people. Put up with you long enough. Ed, get out. Nick.
Come on, you walrus.
Nick, take your wife and go home. Lou, if you're out there.
Lou!
Good God, Lou. If you're out there, send us an SOS. Who else are we missing? Naj. What? Naj. I haven't heard from Naj in a hot moment.
Yeah.
And I don't know. All 43% of the viewers, listeners, are ladies. Let's see some photos, ladies.
All right, that's it. I'm calling it. Good night.
Thanks for listening to Wide Men Can't Jump on the Wide Men Radio Network, located at anchor.fm/WMCJ. Check us out there and download our podcast directly from Anchor or subscribe on one of the many platforms where we're located, including iTunes, Spotify, and more. Thanks to our great sponsors for making this program possible, New Taylor & Associates at newlawoffice.com, Atomic Comics and Collectibles LLC, located at facebook.com/AtomicComicsandCollectiblesLLC, Strip Cam Fun at stripcamfun.com, as well as Stay Classy Meats, located at stayclassymeats.com. Use our promo code WIDEMEN and save 10% on your order. We hope you enjoyed this edition of Sports Talk with Nate and Tim, and we hope you come back and join us again for our next episode at the same spot you found it last time. Thanks again to the wonderful Horse Burner for providing our intro song, as well as all the other content they bring out. Check them out on YouTube, iTunes, Apple Music, and Spotify. Thanks again for listening to Wide Men Can't Jump. We hope to see you back next time. For Tim, this is Nate saying so long for now, and we'll see you again on the next edition of Wide Men Can't Jump.